All right, moving forward with tonight's media availabilities, we are now joined by tonight's winner of the 75th annual Cookout Southern 500 at Darlington Raceway, driver and crew chief of the number 14 Stuart Haas Racing Ford Mustang Dark Horse, Chase Briscoe and Richard Boswell. We'll hop straight into questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll do our best to get a mic to you. We'll begin the back over here with Matt Weaver.
Matt Weaver, Sports Not. For Boswell and for Chase, too, really, I forget which restart it was, but there was a restart where you said, you know, 320 employees have your back, and we all believe in you, and one last chance to win this race for this team and company. That's a lot of pressure, man. I feel like not being in the car, that's pretty heavy. Did you feel comfortable saying that? And then, Chase, what is it like to hear that and the weight of it all?
Yeah, I think that I think Chase knows. It is a lot of weight, and you know, Chase and I had a conversation this week about, you know, we had a conversation before Daytona, thinking that Daytona was, you know, maybe our best opportunity, just kind of with the way our season's gone and our speedway stuff, and you know, Chase reassured me Saturday night after Daytona that if we brought him our best, he was going to bring our best, and I told the guys in the shop that, you know, like we do every week, if we give him what he needs, I can assure you he can win this race. And I think when you back him in a corner like that, we've seen it in the past with his career and kind of the path that he's been on. When you back him in a corner, he's dangerous. And I love seeing this Chase Briscoe. I cannot wait to race with this Chase Briscoe for the next 10 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like Richard said, I feel like I definitely run better under heavy pressure for whatever reason. Like, I've just always been like that for whatever reason. And yeah, you know, when Richard told me that, I'm like emotional. Everybody knows that. I start tearing up in the car thinking about like how much was riding on my shoulders at that point. But yeah, I love that stuff. Like, I love the game seven heavy pressure moment. Like, for whatever reason, I just feel like I do a lot better under those situations than not having a lot of pressure. So, yeah, I mean, I put a lot of pressure on myself just going into this week. You know, last week at Daytona was the worst race by, I mean, a mile I've ever raced in my entire career. I was embarrassed, like so embarrassed. I texted Richard literally right before we got on the plane. I said, I don't ever want to talk about this race again. We're not going to talk about it this week. I promise you I'll make it up to you next week. And, yeah, I knew that it was going to be one of those do or die moments, right? And we talked about it before the race today. This is the last bullet in the chamber, and we knew that this was going to be a really good opportunity for us just based on how we raced in the spring, and if we could just get our car a little bit better, and if we executed all night long, I knew we were going to be in the mix, and we executed, and we were obviously in the mix at the end.
And also, will you guys have what you need to make a serious run at this the next 10 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I mean, we've been shutting down since May, and they haven't shut us off yet. So, yeah, I think we'll be totally fine. Obviously, it's going to be an uphill battle, but we feel confident about it.
Yeah, I mean, we've known this is coming, right? And the questions have been the same every week. And, you know, we respect the questions because that's what you guys do, and that's your job. And, you know, I've just tried to – remind the guys that it's our job to build fast race cars, right? We know what people are going to ask. We can't help that. That's their job. We respect it. But we're gonna continue to work our butts off. And you know, I think I told Lee Spencer earlier today that, or earlier this evening, that it's really sad what's happening, because this is, you know, I've been at Stuart Haas Racing for 8 years, and this is the best I've ever seen four cup drivers work together, the best I've ever seen four crew chiefs work together. And, you know, I'll be honest, like, I've got four teams helping me for these next 3 weeks, and that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to going to battle with all four teams. I think I know that we have a group of guys that support this 14 and are going to do everything that they can. And I think I told Chase at the beginning of the year, we needed a mantra for the season and for the year, and it was going to be one goal for all. That was the 14. And, you know, I think tonight that just came full circle and came to fruition.
We'll go up here, front here, Bob.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. What's it like to have, I mean, you're kind of, you've been in that position before, but what's it like to have Kyle Busch breathing down your neck in that situation? and what were you, did you feel like, did you run those last 10 laps perfectly, or were you, or was it just, yeah, man, you holding on?
Yeah, I mean, whenever I got the lead, I knew I was going to be in a really good position. Then on the restart, you know, Christopher, when they gave us the one to go and he picked behind me, he came up behind me into one and hit me and, like, told me he was going to just shove me, give me a huge shove on the start. And he obviously did that, which got me to the lead. And, like, two laps later, after I watched Kyle Busch pit behind me, here he is in second. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I've worked 300 and something laps just to get to the lead, and now Kyle's going to come and steal it from us. And it was definitely deja vu, because that Xfinity race, I was sideways, way loose at the end, and he just kept running me down. And, I hit the wall like I did in the Xfinity race with, like, two to go. And, yeah, I was waiting for him to do, obviously, whatever he had to do to get in the playoffs too. And you know, kudos to him for racing me super, super clean. So, the fact that both of my Darlington wins have came, you know, trying to hold off Kyle Busch is pretty cool from just a personal note, because that guy is one of the greatest of all time. So, definitely, though, felt like it was 2020 Xfinity all over again.
Go up here with Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. This question's for both of you. Going into Daytona, it's always, you know, wild card. Anybody can win, right? And going into this race, it kind of seemed, the consensus was that it wasn't going to be anybody's race. Only a select few could win. Did you guys coming in here feel like you guys could pull the upset tonight? Like, this was as much your race as anybody else's?
Yeah, I felt like it for sure. You know, in the spring, we ran fifth here. I think we started, like, 12th, and we just, like, nickel and dimed our way to fifth, like, all race long, and we just never could get the track position. In this race, when I qualified third yesterday, I knew if I could just keep it in the top five. Like, that was the goal from lap one, keep it in the top five, and if I do that, I'm going to be in the mix. And it was a frustrating night. I watched Kyle Larson lead, like, 320 laps, like, 20 car lengths behind him, and, like, could just never get by him. And I felt like if I could ever get by him, I would be good. But, yeah, I thought coming into this weekend that this was a really good opportunity. And, truthfully, I felt way better about coming to Darlington than I ever did Daytona, just because I felt like we kind of controlled more of our own destiny, and I knew that our stuff was going to be good. And I felt like I was going to be, you know, good, because I'm typically pretty good around this place, and I knew that we'd be in the mix.
Second question, this is for Richard. We've heard a lot from the drivers about what's going on at SHR and how they've kind of dealt with it. From your perspective and the crew guys' perspective, what's it been like? You've been mad? You're frustrated? Like, as the doors are closing?
Yeah, I mean, I think for those of us that have been there for quite some time, I think it's sad, right? Like, it sucks. This is family. Every employee there, you know, I would have it at Christmas dinner. So that part of it is sad. And, you know, I think the struggle and the difficulty that's come with it has been, we have a job to do, and that hasn't changed. And whether it's 60 hours a week or not, like, it's turned into 70, you know. And I've told people, I can't tell you how many guys I have in my office every week wondering what do I think? Where should I go? I'm worried about my future. Right, and you have to have those conversations. Just from an empathy standpoint, you have to take those guys in and let them know that you care. And, you know, that's just added more work and more hours. And, you know, I would say that's been the biggest difference, is just trying to be mindful of what everybody's going through, but also know that we have a job to do, and try to do our best to bring the best cars we can every week.
We'll hit Pete, and then we'll go to Dustin.
Pete Iacobelli with the Associated Press. For both of you, Chase and Richard, have you got your minds around the idea of, hey, we're in the playoffs, now we got a plan for the playoffs, and how do you compete against when all the power programs have everybody there again? You know, the four Hendrick drivers are there, the four Gibbs drivers are there, Penske drivers are there. How is the plan unfolding to kind of be in competition with them in this title chase?
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it is, we got nothing to lose, right? Like, and if you can win at Darlington, you can win it anywhere on the schedule. This is probably the toughest place to win from just it takes the whole package. Your picker's got to be on it. Your car's got to be good. It takes everything. So, yeah, from that standpoint, I feel like it's totally fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think this is a big sigh of relief, because, man, I think the 14 team is really, really excited about the next three races. We've had them kind of on our schedule. Just if and how can we find a way to make the playoffs, because we feel like the first three races can be one of our strongest rounds. We had a great run at Atlanta earlier this year. Chase does a great job at Bristol. We were able to do the tire test there, and, you know, I feel like we made great strides at Watkins Glen last year before we had some tire issues, but we're looking forward to it.
Dustin here?
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Chase, what does this place mean to you? And I preface it with, when you talk about that Xfinity win, I know that that came probably in the depths of a despair that most people can't understand and can't relate to. And then to go through what you've gone through this year, what you had to go through tonight, and then to have your son right there next to you and everything that this track represents, how do you put it into words what this place is?
Yeah, it's hard to put it into words. Truthfully, it's something that, I mean, it's pretty crazy just how God works, right? Like, you know, like, we come here 2 days after having a miscarriage and are able to win and beat Kyle Busch, and then, you know, 4 years removed, I win here again, beating Kyle Busch, but now I have my son with me, and Marissa's here, pregnant with twins that could literally come at any point. Yeah, it's just funny how it all works out, right? And just to have them here, you know, Brooks has never seen me win. I mean, obviously he watched it at Phoenix on TV, but, you know, for him to get to experience this, and then for Marissa to be here, you know, when I won all those races during COVID, like, she was never there. Obviously when I won at Phoenix, she wasn't there. This is the last race she's coming to. So yeah, she's been telling me, like, all weekend, like, this is, you got to get it done. Like, think of that as motivation. So yeah, it's pretty cool to win with them here. And Brooks has actually been telling me the last 3 days, I got to beat Kyle Larson and Kyle Busch. That's all he's told me. And for him to come out to where I had to beat Kyle Larson and Kyle Busch, it's pretty ironic.
And from a racing perspective, can you talk me through the restart and the three wide move and all that? From the outside, it looked like that was a dramatic and daring move. Maybe from your seat, that was like, hey, that was right there and it was easy to make.
Yeah, I need to watch it back, because I think I started inside second row. Ross was on older tires, so I didn't want to pick behind him. You know, I was kind of bummed when I saw how it played out, because I was going to be on the front row with Kyle, and I felt like the restart before that, I almost beat him heads up. So I was kind of ticked off that I was going to be second row after our picker did an incredible job to get the front row. And somehow I got to the top in 1 and 2. Like, I don't remember if Ty Gibbs somehow cleared me or what. And I just remember I tried to, like, get a huge run off of 2 because I knew they were going to be too wide. And this car gets a really big draft. So I got a huge run. And my car, at least everybody that I was racing with up front, my car was the only one that could run the bottom in 3 and 4. So I knew early in a run I had that kind of in the back of my mind, and I had that big run. I went to the inside. I felt like I was going to be okay even if I had to run the bottom, and I was surprised Kyle didn't cover and, like, block me farther left. And, yeah, I knew we were 3 wide, but I knew Ross was leading. It was going to kind of stack that middle lane up, so I just went in there wide open, and I knew I was going to literally clear Larson by, like, an inch. And I kind of just – I wasn't going to let myself not win a crown jewel by not clearing myself on Kyle Larson. If you go back and watch the Coke 600, I had the race won with 4 to go, and I let him back by when I was, you know, an inch clear. So, yeah, I was just taking it all the way to the wall, and I knew that was my only shot to win the race. Like I said, I'd watched him lead, you know, 300-something laps right behind him. So I knew my car was just as good as his. It was just a matter of who was going to get clean air, and that was the only opportunity I had.
And last thing is, what was it like to get that photo in victory lane with Marissa and Brooks? And
yeah, it was super special. I wish Brooks would have rode in the car with me. Boswell smoked him in the head out on the racetrack, and he was screaming and crying. So, yeah, I wish I would have got to experience that, but I'll just have to win again with him there. But, yeah, it was super special to be able to get to experience that, for sure. That's something that we'll cherish forever, and, you know, he probably won't remember it, but I certainly will.
We'll go to Chase Folsom, then we'll wrap up with Deb Williams.
Chase Folsom, FrontStretch.com. Chase, in your 7 years with SHR, you've been through so many ups and downs and moments of uncertainty. What does it mean to you to have one final shot to go win a title with these guys?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, I'm a diehard Stuart Haas fan, right? Like, that's the car I cheered for growing up, and I've seen that car win time and time and time again and win a championship. And it's been 90-something races since that car's been in victory lane, and this is, you know, we had 11 chances left to do it. And we've been decent this year. We've been close a couple times, but, you know, to be able to do it, like, it would have been awesome if we won next week, but it would have stunk, right? Like, now we at least have a chance to go win a championship, and, you know, we don't have any playoff points or anything like that, but at the same time, we were below the cut line the whole time last time we went to the round of eight. And, you know, we were talking earlier when Matt asked that question. I kind of love the back up against the wall thing, and that's certainly, you know, what we're going to have now. So we just got to go, and if we do like what we did tonight, I mean, we can beat anybody. It's just a matter of putting it all together, and, you know, our pit crew did an incredible job tonight. It's going to take that through the course of the playoffs, and, yeah, it's definitely cool to, you know, win for Stuart Haas. You know, Tony called, and, you know, just to hear how excited he is, and, yeah, just for everybody, right? Like, from a morale standpoint, it's huge at our building, because it's been tough. It's definitely just a weird time right now there, and for me to be there for 7 years and be like family with a lot of those guys, it means a lot.
Close with Deb.
Deb Williams, Auto Week. Chase, on the front stretch, you said that you were sideways counter-steering like you were in a sprint car. With the way this track wears out tires, how did your sprint car experience benefit you tonight?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, every time you come here, I feel like the dirt guys kind of excel. I mean, you still have some guys like a Denny Hamlin or Truex or guys like that. But, yeah, there at the beginning of the race, it's, you know, me, Reddick, Larson, and Bell all up there. And this track just is a lot like sprint car racing because you have way more power. You have to be comfortable slipping and sliding around. And then the other thing is at this racetrack, more than anywhere else, you are constantly just searching for grip. You have to search, and try to find grip and manipulate your car to do things that it doesn't want to do. And you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable here. So, I think it's, you know, no surprise that sprint car guys and just dirt guys in general typically run good here. Just because, you know, we're used to sliding around.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Chase, Richard, congrats on becoming crown jewel champions at the Lady in Black.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.